Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we are about to get into your word this morning, Father, we do pray for hearts that would desire to be obedient to you. Help us, Father, to walk the straight path that you have laid out before us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Question two, when you look in the mirror, do you see one? Are you a happy and victorious Christian? Well, it depends, doesn't it? We just sang a song that said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That ties in perfectly with the message this morning. It is titled, Obeying God. Our text will be Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 42. Now, friends, when it comes to obedience, I wonder if God has laid something on your heart that he wants you to do, but you have not done it. Has God told you that there is a confession of sin that you need to make and you haven't confessed it? Has God been telling you there's some restitution that you need to perform? Some reconciliation that you need to seek and you haven't done it? Has God told you that there's a gift that you're supposed to give? Or has he laid somebody on your heart he wants you to witness to and you haven't done it? Do you have any of those things going on in your life and then you still want to wonder why you're not experiencing joy and happiness and victory in your Christian walk? The answer can be found in that hymn we just sang. You got to trust and obey. Otherwise, you're not going to be happy in Jesus. I'm going to give you a little background on these verses we're looking at today. So here's what happened. At this time in church history, Jesus had given the Great Commission. He had ascended into heaven. The apostles were preaching and God was moving. So it was like this. Jesus went up. The Holy Spirit came down. The apostles went out. The lost came in. And they were turning the world inside out and upside down. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin, all these other Jewish religious leaders, they were not happy about that. So you know what they did? They threw the apostles in jail. That didn't stop nothing. Because that night while they were in jail, an angel came, broke them out of jail, and told them to go right back to the temple and keep preaching. This is what you might call a sanctified jailbreak, friends. Now, early the next morning, the high priest, he gathers up all the Jewish ruling council, and he sends officers down to the jail to bring the apostles in to stand trial before the Sanhedrin. But when the officers got there, the apostles were gone. So they go back and they tell the high priest, hey, we find the jail all locked up tight. The guards are posted. But those guys you put in jail for preaching about Jesus, they're not there. We don't know where they are. Now, they're all standing around trying to figure out what happened. Somebody else comes in to the high priest and they say, hey, those guys that you put in jail, they're over there at the temple preaching about Jesus again. So the high priest hears that. He sends some guards over to the temple to grab the apostles and bring them back to stand trial. Now you're all caught up. Let's jump into verse 27 and see what happened. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. He says, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. He's talking about the name of Jesus. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. Now, friends, if you're one of those brothers or sisters that highlights or underlines things in your Bible, you might want to highlight that. We must obey God rather than men. Let's pick it up at verse 30, see what else Peter says. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sin to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who God has given to those who do what? Obey him. So two different times in this passage, we see Peter talking about obeying God, and that's what we're talking about this morning. Pastor Adrian Rogers used to say that the Christian railroad runs on two tracks, trust and obey. And the old T&O railroad is the railroad of redemption, friends. And I want you to learn about obedience this morning. You know why? Because I want you to be happy. I want you to live victorious lives in Christ. Now, the first point we want to consider is that we need to review the reasons for obedience. Because if you don't have a good reason to be obedient, you're probably not going to be obedient. So let's review the reasons for obedience. Reason number one, obedience is a duty to be performed. Yeah, we need to roll with that PowerPoint. There you go, brother. Obedience is a duty to be performed. Look what Peter says in verse 29. We must obey God rather than men. We must obey. There's no question about it here. Here's what was going on. Men said, don't do that. God said, do that. The apostles said, we don't even got to pray about this. This is a no-brainer, man. God said to do this. We're going to do it. Well, that brings up a question. Does God really have the right to command us to do so? Yeah, he does. He's God. See, everybody knows that. But so many Christians get themselves in trouble here simply because they don't obey God. They just don't do it. Let me give you an example of what happens when you disobey from the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 15, King Saul, Israel's first king. God has already told him, I want you to go to war against the Amalekites, because they're a bunch of godless heathens and they're doing all kinds of evil, wicked things. Now, not only do I want you to go in there and kill every single Amalekite, man, woman, and child, wipe them out. Them people are so bad, I want you to kill all their livestock too. The man had his marching orders straight from God. So you know what King Saul did? He killed the Amalekites, but he spared their king. And he killed some of the livestock, but he kept all the best of the animals for himself. He didn't listen to what God told him to do. God sends his prophet, Samuel, to talk to Saul about his disobedience. When Samuel arrives and confronts the king, Saul just flat out lied. And let me tell you something that I told the 8 o'clock crowd. This ain't even in my notes, but it's important. What you're going to see here is the king is he's going to be in a bad situation because he disobeyed. So, friend, it doesn't matter whether you're a poor person barely able to pay your rent or whether you're a billionaire living in the White House. Amen. You disobey God, there's going to be consequences. I can promise you that. So Samuel confronts King Saul and he says, why'd you disobey God? Well, Saul just lies. He goes, but I did obey God. I killed all the Amalekites. Well, except for their king. I didn't kill him. But he's the king, you know, and I killed all the livestock. Well, except for all the best animals, I didn't kill those. But that was only because I was going to sacrifice them later to God. Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Listen to Samuel's answer. And this should cause you to really evaluate your motives when it comes to obeying the Lord. Samuel says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Friend, if you're disobeying God today, do you know what your sin is like? It's like witchcraft. Now, you may not think you're practicing witchcraft, but your disobedience puts you on the same side of the fence with the devil. That's what made the devil the devil. His disobedience and his rebellion against God. The Bible says disobedience to God is a form of witchcraft. And if you know this story, you know that before very long, King Saul actually went and consulted with a woman who had psychic powers from Satan himself, and she was a witch. So he really did practice literal witchcraft. You can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 28. Not only is disobedience the same as witchcraft, it's iniquity. When you disobey, it's like you're holding your fist up in God's face saying, I don't have to listen to you. My will be done, not your will be done. If you're doing that, you're on very dangerous ground. Now, you may think it's just some small thing that you're being disobedient about, but your disobedience is a big thing, even if the thing you're being disobedient about is a little thing. Let me give you a real world illustration. Some of you in men's Bible study have heard this story before. Several years ago, my daughter Cheyenne was still in grade school. She was playing softball. So we're at the game with my two youngest sons in tow. It hadn't rained in weeks. It was a dry, dusty mess, except for one little tiny area about this big that was wet and had mud in it. Now, where do you think my sons chose to play? So they're over there messing around in the mud. And I said, hey, you guys get out of the mud for crying out loud. I don't want you getting in your mom's car like that. And they said, okay. And they got out of the mud. And then a few minutes later, they were back in the mud. So I told them again, this time with a little more authority, hey, I told you dudes to get out of the mud. Now get out and stay out. One of the boys got out and stayed out. One of the boys got out but went back in. So I went over to him and I calmly said, you know how like when there's a bunch of people around, you try to do that yelling, but you're not really yelling. So I said, you know what's going to happen now? And he said, yeah, I'm going to get a spanking. And he was right. He was right. Now, some of you, I get it. You've been watching Dr. Phil and Oprah, and you're thinking, oh, you big bully. I can't believe that you would spank your kid over something so little. He got in a boy's getting mud, Pastor. That's what they do. I can't believe you spanked him. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Amen. He didn't get spanked because of the mud. He got spanked because he was defying his father. The mud was a little thing. His disobedience was the big thing. Now, there may be some small thing that God has prompted you to do. But if you're defying God over that small thing, it becomes a big thing. God says it's like witchcraft, it is iniquity, and it's idolatry. How is disobedience idolatry? Well, what's an idol? I've told you before, man, an idol is anything that you love more, fear more, serve more, or honor more than God. And if God wants you to do something and you don't do it, it's because you're putting something else ahead of God. That's idolatry. Plain and simple. Think about what disobedience is. The Word of God says that it's witchcraft, it is iniquity, and it's idolatry. We must obey God rather than man. Amen. Now, not only is obedience a duty to be performed, number two, it's a debt to be paid. Look what Peter says beginning at verse 29. We must obey God rather than men. the God of our fathers, raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sin to Israel. Think about what Jesus has done for you. He suffered and he bled and he died on a cross. Look at bloody Calvary if you can, and then tell me you got a right to disobey. No. Obedience is a duty to be performed. It's a debt to be paid. And number three, it's a delight to be preferred. See, don't get the idea that the will of God is something that you have to do. You got the wrong attitude. As a Christian, the will of God is something that you get to do. Amen. It's a delight to be preferred. And see, when you learn to obey, you're going to learn what it means to have true joy in your life. There is no such thing as a happy, disobedient Christian. That's a contradiction in terms. If you're living in disobedience, I promise you, you're not going to be happy. Because obedience and rejoicing go hand in hand. Look at Acts 5:41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. They got put in jail. They got beat. They were rejoicing that they'd been counted worthy to suffer for him. They were obedient, and as a result, they were rejoicing. Now, the reason some of us don't obey and don't understand that there's actually joy in obeying is because we don't really trust God. Come on. We don't really trust him, some of us. And you know why you don't trust him? Because some of you don't really know him. It's hard to trust somebody you don't know. But once you really get to know Jesus, one of the things that you'll figure out is his commands are not burdensome at all. They're a delight to be preferred. Let me tell you something else about obedience. It's a decision to be practiced. You got to decide whether or not you're going to obey. Because God loves you this much that he will actually allow you to disobey if that's what you want to do. You ever seen somebody who says, just throws their hands up, they get frustrated, they just throw their hands up and say, oh, well, God's will be done. If God wants it to be done, it'll get done. And if God don't want it to be done, then it won't be done, but I'm done messing with it. Well, there's a Greek word for that, baloney. God's will is not always done. Some people say that God's will is always done in every single thing. No. That is simply not true. If God, think about this. If God's will is already always done, then how come Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? There are a lot of things happening on this earth right now that are certainly not the will of God. If you think I'm wrong, turn on your TV for about 12 seconds. Now, a lot of things happening today that are not the will of God, and God will allow you to disobey if that's what you want to do. And that does not take away from his sovereignty one little bit. God actually gives man the freedom to rebel if that's what the guy wants to do. God has given us a choice. You can choose to obey or you can choose to disobey. Some people got a hard time understanding this. See, they look around at the mess this world is in and they say, if God is all powerful, then why doesn't he just do away with all this evil and suffering? And if he doesn't do away with it, then maybe he's not really all powerful. Or they say, well, if God's all powerful, but he doesn't do away with all this evil and suffering, maybe he's not really all loving. Let me clear this up for you real quick. I can clear this up for you real fast. God is all powerful and God is all loving. You got that? But he has given mankind a choice. He's given every single one of you a choice. You can choose to obey or you can choose to disobey. And because God has given us this choice, there are certain things that God will not do. In fact, you may find this hard to believe. There are actually some things God can't do. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. You just crossed the line now. What do you mean there's things that God can't? God, no, no, no. I'm going to tell you six things that God can't do. Number one, because he is all powerful, he can't fail. Amen. Ephesians 1:11 says he works all things after the counsel of his own will. So God can't fail. Number two, God cannot lie. Amen. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Number three, God cannot be tempted. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I thought Jesus was tempted. Yeah, but he was tempted in his humanity, not in his essence as the Almighty God. God cannot be tempted. Number four, God cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Number five, God cannot be unjust. Friends, this is the whole reason for the cross. Romans 3:26 says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Friends, it's impossible. It is impossible for God to forgive sin without a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The reason Jesus died on the cross is so God could still be a just God and also the justifier of men and women who put their faith and trust in Jesus. You remember what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But the silence from heaven said, no, that's impossible. If there had been some other way to save mankind, surely God would have chosen that before he sent his own beloved son to die on the cross. By his very nature, God cannot look, he can't overlook sin. He don't look the other way. If he did, he wouldn't be a just God. And finally, number six, and this is what it all boils down to, friend. God cannot force loving obedience. God cannot make you love him. He can't make you love him because forced love ain't love at all. God will not force you to obey him. Now, that doesn't mean he's limited in his power. It simply means that because of his holy nature, there are certain things he will not and cannot do. You got to choose to obey him. And then check this out. Even if you do choose to obey him, you still got nothing to brag about because he's the one who enables you to make the choice. It's a gift. It's a gift. Obedience in that sense is like breathing. Is breathing a gift? Well, yeah, of course it is. God gave you the lungs and he gave you the air. But if you want to, you could still suffocate yourself. Obedience is a gift from God in that he gives you the will and the ability to obey if that's what you really want to do. He's the one who works it in you, but there comes a time when you must make a decision. God's not going to force you to obey. So don't just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll just happen. No. Obedience is a decision to be practiced. You got to say, I will obey him. Now, friend, every single one of these things we talked about this morning are the reasons for obedience. And this is where we're going to cut off today. When we come back next week, we're going to pick it up right here and we're going to discuss the requirements of obedience as well as the rewards for obedience. I hope y'all can make it back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be obedient. Put it in our hearts, Lord, that we would want to obey you. And then, Lord, when we feel you speaking to our heart, when you put something on our heart that you want us to do, give us the ability, Lord, and the perseverance and the courage to do the things that you want us to do. Help us not to live as rebellious children who are asking for discipline. Help us to be obedient children, Lord, that we might know true joy. Watch over all of these folks that came out to this church today, Lord. Bless them for the remainder of this day and tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. God bless you. Would you all please bow for the benediction? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.